Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration, or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Steve Dale's Pet World.
Hello. Welcome to meeting me.
Steve is a certified animal behavior consultant. And he's here to help you.
Wow, that's messed up.
You're so wise.
Just me by my size, do you?
Like a miniature Buddha.
Am I a hero?
Call right now, 866-554-PETS.
I really can't say, but yes.
People like me.
That's right. Call toll free, 866-554-7387.
Oh, you're a pretty little kitty, aren't you?
All right, get ready to be astounded. This is amazing. We know that dogs can identify different kinds of cancers. That's been in the news. That is not the news. But what Dr. Cynthia Otto has done at Penn Vet, University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine, has said, first, let me confirm that dogs can identify. She took ovarian cancer, a cancer that really, by the time it is identified in people, by the time it's diagnosed, typically, it's bad news because there are few, if any, symptoms for ovarian cancer. So she said, this is the one I want to tackle. Too many women are dying. We need to do something about it. She said, okay, now, what are we going to do at a practical level? Dogs can identify it. What they're not identifying as ovarian cancer is that this is ovarian, but they're identifying specific chemicals. And she thought, if we could understand exactly which very specific chemicals the dogs are cueing in on, then we could, in fact, and she's working with chemists and physicists, we can create a blood test, a screening test for ovarian cancer. Can you imagine how many lives will be saved? She's only a couple of years, she thinks, away from doing this. Dependent on funding, like everything else, we're going to talk to her about this, but It's amazing, and it's really happening, and it's only happening because of dogs. And, oh, one more tagline to this amazing story is that she believes once she can figure out ovarian cancer, other types of cancers that are difficult to detect and that there is no good early screening for, and the list is long, I mean truly long, esophageal cancer, you know, cancer of the esophagus, cancer of the larynx, stomach cancer, even colon cancer potentially, although there are other tests for that, but all of these things and more could be then determined by a simple, inexpensive blood test. It is a miracle, and we'll talk with Dr. Otto about this. I want to talk about vaccines. There's been some news reports, popular press, New York Post, those sorts of things, Washington Times, I believe, saying that we're perhaps over-vaccinating our dogs. And for sure that people are concerned and they're not vaccinating dogs as much. It's what's going on in the human world, you know, with our kids. Some parents say, no, I don't want that vaccine. So are there repercussions for this? And is this really crossover? Should it be crossing over to our pet population? And speaking of which, I will talk about something that there is a vaccine for, and that is the dog flu. It is happening all over America, And you're going to learn what just happened in Bozeman, Montana. It's amazing. So when we think of dog flu, at least I would have thought, okay, New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, I mean, big cities where dogs meet on the street. They're boarded very frequently. They go to doggy daycare. They interact with other dogs, so the flu is very contagious. But in Bozeman, Montana, we're going to hear how it has spread and how the dog flu has impacted that community. I mean, we're talking really impacted that community and why you need to think about protecting your pet, your dog, from the dog flu. All of that, and most importantly, your telephone calls. I'm here to help you. Phone number is 866-554-7387. It is toll-free, my favorite word, 866-554-7387. Our telephone number is 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. You can bite on that. Hello, Mary in Minnesota.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I have a problem with one of my dogs. I have a shelter dog that's going to be 12 and another dog that's going to be 4.
Mm-hmm.
Both are around 60 pounds. The younger dog has on occasion will eat her own poop and the other dog's poop. We have gone to the vet and have used the products, but it seems it always returns.
So eating her own isn't enough. She needs more.
Evidently.
Okay. Well, the fancy term for this, as your veterinarian probably said, is coprophagia. And your veterinarian may have sold you a product called Deter or another one called Forbid, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the success rate is kind of like, not so much. And what you do with these products or Lowry's seasoning salt is you sprinkle it on the food, right? Your dog's food. And then
right.
The theory is that coming out the other end, it will be distasteful. Is that kind of what the vet said?
Right.
And the veterinarian probably said, it's like, I'll sell this to you. It's not expensive. It's, give it a try. But odds are, historically, well, it might work. Probably it may not. Is that also what he said?
Right.
Okay. So, and it didn't. The reality is that the best solution to this, you're not going to want to hear. It's a plastic bag.
Oh, I do that constantly, yes. I do.
Well, if you're out there picking up right after the dog, there's no way that the dog can turn around and even think about the idea.
Well, in Minnesota, when it's 30 below, I don't want to go outside.
Well,
unlike the dogs.
Move to Florida.
Thank you, Steve.
Like everyone else, I have a Facebook fan page, facebook.com/ Steve Dale Pet World, where I write about all sorts of different topics. If it's pet news, you can come to me, depend on that, including this question, are we over-vaccinating our pets or not? And I'll talk about that next. It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry. A new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the only radio show that carries a little plastic bag so it can pick up after itself. Here's Steve Dale.
So in human medicine, doctors are talking about, and we've seen the impact of people not vaccinating their children. Right, wrong, or otherwise, there are concerns about autism, and I think other concerns that at least some parents have about vaccinating their kids. Now, all of that has crossed over into the pet world, but is it relevant to pets? And that's what I want to talk about. And there are lots of reasons why people say, I don't want to vaccinate my dog for whatever it is, fill in the blank. But some of it is based on misinformation. Let me give you an example. I recently received an email, and incidentally, you can email me, Steve, at petworldradio.net. And this email was Steve from a listener, Barbara. And she said, Steve, I don't want to vaccinate my dog against the dog flu because I'm worried by doing so, my dog will get the flu. Well, for dogs, the dog flu vaccine is what we call a killed vaccine. So it's actually impossible for that to happen.
And I wrote her back and I explained that, but she said, that's not what I read on Facebook. So science doesn't matter and Facebook does. But people really get, and these are pet owners who want to do, you all want to do. You would not be listening to this radio show if you did not want to do what's best for your pet. I believe that. But I also believe there are so many misconceptions out there, and some of these concern me. So one regards the rabies vaccine. So if you don't vaccinate your dog for rabies, first of all, in all 50 states, you are doing something that is against the law. I'm not saying you'll be arrested for it, but could be fined, and it is against the law. And the reason why it is law to vaccinate dogs for rabies everywhere in America is that we don't want rabies. By vaccinating for many vaccines, we are not only protecting our pets, but we're protecting ourselves and protecting the environment. The only reason why we don't hear about rabies in the U.S. is not because it doesn't exist. It does. We don't hear about it because we vaccinate enough dogs, happily, where the community, it's called herd health, that's the terminology, the community is protected. You know, veterinarians, I think, are in part responsible for all of this themselves, the industry is, because even a decade ago, and still there are some veterinarians that say, come on in once a year for your vaccines, and that's how we'll help your pets. And that's how they marketed themselves. No, it shouldn't be that way. It should be come in once a year, or better, twice a year, really. Twice a year, because pets age so much faster than we do. Come in twice a year for a preventive care checkup. And maybe included in that will be vaccines. And if you look at the vaccine guidelines, and this is where there are misconceptions, if you really read the vaccine guidelines, and you can, they're available. That's the thing about the internet that's good. They are available. American Association of Feline Practitioners for vaccine guidelines for cats, for immunization guidelines or vaccine guidelines for dogs. It is the American Animal Hospital Association. You can just Google it and find it and read it for yourself. And what veterinarians are supposed to do is consider some vaccines are core vaccines. All pets should have them. And here's the interval that is typical for most pets. Now, you could check a dog's titer or to determine if they are still protected after some number of years for some of the vaccines to determine if they still have antibodies to protect against whatever it is we're talking about, whatever disease it might be. But then there are many vaccines, most vaccines, that are dependent on the lifestyle of the pet, the geography of where the pet lives. So, for example, if that pet lives in Montana, would you need a vaccine for Lyme? Well, probably not. Lyme does occur in Montana, but it's not endemic there and not in great numbers. But that's where the lifestyle of that individual dog comes in. So in Montana, a whole lot of dogs do a lot of hiking. So if that's the case in areas where there are ticks, and now there are maps today, specific maps that veterinarians can look at and say, oh, but there really is. This is where you go hiking. There is a lot of Lyme there. So it truly, and this is a change. First of all, these sorts of maps weren't available even 10 years ago. But what's more, some of these things, so the dog flu. There was no vaccine for the dog flu 10 years ago. And we'll talk about the dog flu later in the program because the dog flu in the U.S. did not exist 10 years ago. There was a vaccine then for leptospirosis. And for some pets, it was the right thing to do. But now leptospirosis, for whatever reasons, is far more common across the country. And there are other examples of this as well, where it's just Lyme is another one, tick disease, and Lyme in particular. So hooray, I am glad that we have potential protection for dogs against Lyme disease in that we have a vaccine. Now, Lyme disease, yes, 10 years ago existed, but it's spread, and it's far more prevalent today, far more than it was just 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. The other misconception is that veterinarians get rich off of vaccines. And then I will get off my soapbox, I promise. Well, I happen to know how much vaccines cost, and I know how much veterinarians on average will charge for a vaccine. They do make money. I mean, this is not a not-for-profit business. Veterinarians do They're in business to make money and to provide for their own families. I understand that. If they really wanted to get rich, they'd have to over-vaccinate a heck of a lot to get rich, I'm telling you, because they don't make that much money off of an individual vaccine. However, if they really wanted to get rich, what they would be doing is the reverse. They would be saying, don't vaccinate, because then they would be treating a whole lot of sick pets. And that is the other thing. We think, okay, we don't see rabies or distemper or parvovirus, so it must not be there. No. And what happens is you get these parvovirus outbreaks, feline and canine, all over the country. Shelter workers know about it. Talk to anyone who works at a shelter, and they will confirm. And the reason for that, the reason for the outbreaks, there aren't enough animals vaccinated for it. Coming up next, a conversation with a woman who I predict may win a Nobel Prize one day for this work. I am not exaggerating. You'll hear about it.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Welcome back to the only radio show that carries a little plastic bag so it can pick up after itself. Here's Steve Dale.
I'm very lucky to be involved in some way in veterinary medicine because I get to meet some of the most amazing people. And what you're about to hear will be astounding. Dr. Cynthia Otto, the director of the Working Dog Center at Penn Vet, also an associate professor. We know this. We know that dogs can detect different kinds of cancers. That isn't necessarily new. And you have confirmed that dogs can detect ovarian cancer. The thing is, what do you do with this information? I mean, we're not going to, I wish we could, have a dog in every medical exam room in the country, a wagging tail going back and forth. So that's not going to happen. So how is this information useful? You raised your hand and said, I have an idea.
Yeah, so it's so exciting to see how we can harness the capability of the olfactory system in these dogs, their ability to smell things, and not only just smell them, but discern really subtle differences is incredible. And it is currently beyond any of our other technology. But what we've been lucky enough to do...
So a dog's nose is better than our technology to discern even different kinds of cancers that cannot be, to date, identified by test.
Absolutely. And even just taking this approach of discerning cancers by odor, most approaches have been trying to look at proteins or genetic markers. And what we're looking at is each cancer, or at least cancer in general, produces a change in your odor that you emit from your body. And we know that ovarian cancer has a very specific odor that we can determine in the blood of patients with ovarian cancer that sets them apart from patients that have benign ovarian disease and also from normal women.
And you've taken these dogs and are doing what? This is quite amazing.
So the dogs are able to tell us which sample is from the patient with cancer. And what they're helping us do is work with some amazing chemists and a physicist who is developing an electronic sensing device. And the reason that we feel like that is so important is there are hundreds of thousands of women who should be screened annually for ovarian cancer because it is the silent killer. And we want to make sure that they all get a fair chance at being screened. The dogs are brilliant, but they can't screen the numbers of patients. And they do have days that they're better than others. And we want to make sure that every single woman that has a risk of cancer or might be affected by this devastating disease can be identified early, because we know with early identification, we can cure these people.
So what will the dogs be doing? So right now you say you're working with chemists. The dogs, in fact, are detecting something. If they're smelling something, it's a chemical, and then go from there.
Right. So we have blood samples, and we share those blood samples with our chemists and with the physicist. So we're all trying to agree that these are the samples and these are the odors that are being detected. So our chemist is taking those samples, and he's looking at those with his precise machines, a gas chromatography and mass spectrometry, and picking out those specific areas that are, these are the potential chemicals. We're actually now taking some of those back to the dogs and going, hey, is this the chemical you're smelling? So we're asking them to confirm what our chemist believes might be those candidate molecules, those candidate odors. At the same time, the physicist is taking these blood samples and running them through his really fancy DNA-coded nanotubule, fancy sort of like Star Trek type of equipment, and he's getting different signals based on the different patients. And what we're wanting to do now is say, okay, the machines are starting to look like they're separating our cancer patients from our non-cancer patients. Do the dogs agree? Do we agree across not just these known samples, but as we start to expand more and more samples? And the dogs are our gold standard. And so they're able to tell us, yes, we are on the right track.
As a result of your work, it's very possible that there will be a blood test for ovarian cancer. And if that happens, then it's just a leap and a jump to other kind of cancers as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are so excited that this is a little bit of proof of principle, and we can then start to even ask the question, are there other cancers that have a similar odor, or does each cancer have its unique odor, and can we use the dogs to find those out and do similar things for all kinds of cancer? And wouldn't that be just an incredible way to have a One Health approach that's just unlike any other?
Are we talking like 100 years from now? Are we talking about much, 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 much sooner?
Well, I think with the progress that we're seeing, we're tempted to say it's going to happen within a couple of years. If we can get the funding to help, you know, really move it forward, we're probably looking at 3 to 5 years.
And I know you're working with an organization, Ovarian Cancer Symptom Awareness. To learn more about it, check out their website. Dr. Otto, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV. On your time.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Biz Talk Radio. Biz Talk Radio.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
He's not a vet, but he does smell like a dog. You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Write this down. Memorize this. 866-554-PETS. 866-554-7387. Our phone number. And when you call, I say, hello, Lynn. Maybe even if your name isn't Lynn, but yours is. How are you?
I am doing really good.
What's
How
going
are
on?
You?
I'm good. Good, 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 good. What's happening?
I have a cat that weighs 26 pounds.
Whoa.
It's a full-blooded Maine Coon.
Oh.
But I've been trying to get him to lose weight. And nothing seems to be working. And I just need a little bit of advice on what I can do to help him.
Okay, so the advice isn't too different than it is for people. It's to make sure that we have a reasonable diet and to also increase your cat's exercise. And that's right, I said exercise and cats in the same sentence. And it is possible. First of all, I'd want to know how overweight your cat is. And to do it right, to do a plan, and it should be a plan, it should be crafted in conjunction with a veterinarian, ideally not the radio guy. So you should be talking to your veterinarian at some point about this, but I can give you some general ideas, if that would help.
It sure would.
Okay, first of all, having a Maine Coon cat, your cat,
Oh, gosh. I was just going to say, might not be that overweight. But having said that, just a couple pounds in a cat is significant. You know, but we think, how many pounds did you say? 26 pounds?
26.
Yeah, so you think 26 pounds and you think, oh, my gosh, this cat should be half of that. And there are some cats that should be half of that. But a Maine Coon by nature, if it truly is a pedigreed Maine Coon cat, not just the cat that looks like a Maine Coon, but if it's truly that big-boned, physically large Maine Coon cat, Maine Coon cats can easily weigh over 20 pounds and not be overweight. So what I would want to know is how overweight, what are we talking about? A cat that is losing a pound or two or three, or a cat that maybe even needs to lose more than that? Potentially a cat that doesn't need to lose maybe a pound, you know. So what are we talking about?
Well, he has a shape. He's round.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just round in the middle, and, you know, he was that way, though, when I got him.
Okay, so
I adopted him when he was 9 months old.
Well, congratulations.
And,
so there are some images you could look at online that will show you how to measure. It's hard to explain on the radio, but to show you how to measure to determine if your cat is underweight, if your cat is about right, if your cat is overweight. But it's helpful, but it still doesn't tell you how many pounds your cat needs to lose. And that is yet another reason for going to the veterinarian, because the thing is, as good as radio is, I cannot see your cat. So I cannot say, and it would be inappropriate for me to say, how many pounds your cat needs to lose. But the good news is your cat might not need to lose all that many pounds. Now, what we tend to do is we free feed our cats. We leave food out all the time, thinking that the cat is going to stop when the cat has had enough. Do you do that, or do you specifically give your cat food? Okay, here's your food dish. This is what you have.
I give them, I feed them, at night, and I give them, a cupful. I have two cats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put a cupful in their dish, and they just can go and, you know, eat it whenever they, you know,
want. So
feel
my,
like it.
Right. So my guess is, first of all, I would recommend you not doing that. I would recommend you feed them separately and feed them a prescribed amount of food. And then after 15 minutes, whatever period of time, but somewhere around there, take away the food, particularly from your overweight cat. So you put your overweight cat in one room, close the door, put the food dish in there, put your other cat in another room, close the door, and put the food dish in there. That way you know how much the cat is really eating. My guess is currently the other cat is not eating as much as the cat that is probably overweight. And that may be to some extent appropriate because the Maine Coon type cat is probably a larger cat. What is your other cat, a domestic short hair or a purebred cat of some kind?
No, it's just a regular, ordinary cat.
Right, so that's
hair.
A domestic short hair.
He is, you know, very skittish and never eats at the same time when he does.
Okay.
He always is the first one at the dish.
All right, yet another reason to feed them separately because this other cat is saying, I don't want to get next to this cat and eating at the same time. So dogs can be, and so can cats, be really good at sharing food dishes. But most cats are not. Many dogs are not, for that matter. But most cats are not. And you're better off for behavioral reasons and to build the confidence of that skittish cat to have your cat feel comfortable that I'm going to get as much food as I need and not worry about the other cat. From the larger cat's perspective, your Maine Coon, who's scarfing down most of that food, this way you'll be able to control the amount of food. Now, how much should you feed the cat? Well, in part, it depends on the kind of food you're feeding the cat, whether it's dry food, moist food, and what the brand of food is. And don't tell me now. I don't need to know. Again, that's a conversation you best have with your veterinarian. In general, making a point of that, the amount that you feed your pet, dog or cat, is usually a bit less than what is said on the package if you want the ideal weight.
The package
right.
kind of gives you an estimate that's a bit over what it should be for most of our pets. But again, I'm generalizing. And it also, every pet's an individual and metabolizes different food differently, different brands of food differently, just like we metabolize. So you can have the same meal as your spouse or a friend, and it would be metabolized differently. And you can have a meal and kind of, oh my God, I've gained 20 pounds after I ate that hamburger, where your friend is like, oh, give me another hamburger. I'm not full. You know, so it's the same thing with our cats and dogs. And that is yet another reason to see your veterinarian. Now, I want to talk about exercise. So we think about cats and we don't think about exercise. And if you're, is this cat an indoor cat?
Yes.
Good.
They both are.
Good. Okay, so the cats are going to live longer, healthier lives because they're indoors. That's a good thing. But the downside is they just oftentimes don't have much to do, and then they get into this, it snowballs, so they don't do much, and then they don't do much at all, and then they don't do anything, and it grows larger and larger. At some point, you have a cat that's just sitting on the sofa, using the litter box if you're lucky, and certainly eating and eating and eating. So we want to change that a little. We want to encourage some exercise, and to do that for both cats is not a bad idea. There's no downside for your other cat's other cat exercising as well. So I hope that in some way I've helped you out. You have to promise to call me back in, say, 2 months and let me know how it's gone.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you so much.
Okay, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
It was nice talking to you, too. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Lots of ways in which you can reach me. Let's review. You can call 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. I said it that way on purpose because every once in a while I get the emails from you saying, Steve, you talk too fast. So I slowed it down. 866-554-7387. In addition to that, you can email me, steve@petworldradio.net. And every week we choose an email and we say, okay, we're going to talk about this. And now we'll talk about an alarm clock. That's what you emailed me about. Oh, the alarm clock, by the way, happens to be a cat. We'll explain next, right here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
We're always standing by to take your call at 866-554-PETS or email steve@petworldradio.net.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat.
Please go first.
My mouth parts are watering.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
So the good news or bad news, depending on how you look at it, is it's getting a bit cooler outside and the leaves are beginning to turn and all those sorts of things. And you know what? This is the time of year right now when tick disease in dogs is most prevalent. Oh, yeah, I know. It can and does happen in the spring and summer. But the fall is when it happens most often, specifically Lyme disease. We'll talk about that next week on the show. And also the World Veterinary Association. We'll talk to their executive director. Now, she is in charge of the world. So that's pretty high stakes.
Three simple words. You got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, our cat has a new alarm clock. That's not what I meant to say. Dear Steve, our family has a new alarm clock, writes emailer Dorothy in Minnesota. Norbert wakes us up at about 4 a.m. and before our alarm. Now what? Well, I don't know the age of this cat, so sometimes older cats have specific issues where they do this sort of thing, which I'll talk about in a second. But let's say it's a younger cat. If it is, what the cat is doing is the cat is saying, okay, I expect food to happen. I know food is going to happen. I'm getting hungry. I want it to happen even earlier, and I'm going to tell you about it. So you typically apparently feed your cat at 5 a.m., and the cat at 4 a.m. is waking you up. This wouldn't be as annoying if you fed your cat, say, and this happens to all of us with cats, right, at 6 o'clock at night. Let's say that's when you feed your cat, quote, dinner. And at 5 o'clock, your cat begins to come to you saying, I want food. And that's what's happening. But this is a bit more annoying because it's 4 in the morning. I understand that. So you could try this. Feed your cat out of an automatic feeder. There are many cat bowls, assuming that's how you feed your cat, that have a timer on it. And at 5 a.m., you can set the timer for 5 a.m. or even move it back to 5:15 if you want. Doesn't matter. And now your cat, the hope is, will go row, 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 at the source of the food, which is not you anymore, but the food dish, the automatic timer. Now, if you feed moist food, what do you do? Or if you don't like that option, what do you do? Well, you can ignore your cat. That would be the best thing to do. And I know that's hard to do, but when you don't give any attention whatsoever and you play tough love, then your cat is at least somewhat more likely to stop. But I want you to do something else at the same time. I want you to give your, I mean, your cat might not be doing this for attention completely. Your cat may be really hungry. So feed your cat a snack before bedtime. So don't add to the percent. So if you gave your cat 100 pieces of kibble a day, I'm making up that number. Now, I still want you to give your cat 100 pieces of kibble a day, but 90 during the day and 10 pieces before the cat goes to bed and before you go to bed. So the cat has something to eat right before bedtime, and maybe then the cat won't be so hungry if the cat really is hungry. Now, I said, well, what about the age of the cat? As cats age, or dogs, or people, right, there can be cognitive issues. And in cats, we call it feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome. Could happen to males or females as they age. And one of the signs of that is a cat that in the middle of the night inexplicably yowls. That doesn't sound like the case here. This cat, cats who meow, here's a general rule. Cats who meow want our attention. They've learned to communicate with people that way. Sometimes cats do not meow in quite the same way when they communicate to one another, interestingly enough, as to when they communicate with people. If the cat is yowling in the middle of the night, that's sort of a different thing. That could be a hearing issue. That could be cognitive dysfunction syndrome. As cats get older, they do get something that's kind of like Alzheimer's in people. So if this is an older cat, talk to your veterinarian first. If this is a younger cat, say under, I don't know, 10 years or 11 or 12 years of age, somewhere under that, that makes the cognitive issue unlikely. And it's probably that your cat is really just hungry or wants to be fed because the cat has gotten attention from you. And maybe that's why you're feeding your cat at 5 a.m. in the first place. Maybe you fed your cat at 6 a.m. I don't know. And then at 5 a.m., the cat started to go, row, row, row. And the cat has been very effective at training you. I'm not so sure of that, but I will say that cats in general are very effective at training any of us. Email your questions to Steve at petworldradio.net. Coming up next, a conversation about what's been happening in Montana, of all places, and the dog flu, which has gone wild.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398. 3398.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
Well, when I think of the dog flu capital of the world, I certainly wouldn't typically think of Bozeman, Montana. But it turns out a lot of dogs there have been sickened, and this is sort of a lesson in dog flu you're about to hear. Dr. Jared Moss, thank you very much for joining us, because you're dealing at this very moment with kind of a epidemic.
Yes, we are. Thanks for having me. Over the past couple of months, we've just been seeing an incredible number of dogs who have been presenting to the hospital with respiratory disease, coughing, runny eyes, runny nose, fever, and it's really been an epidemic here because it's a small population, it's a small community, but we've seen an incredible number of sick dogs here over the last 2 months.
Well, you mentioned hundreds of dogs that likely, they haven't all been tested and confirmed, but based on symptoms, likely have the dog flu canine influenza virus, H3N2 specifically. If we're talking about hundreds of dogs in a population the size of Bozeman, we're talking about a significant percent of dogs.
That's true. Now, last month, you know, I have three veterinary hospitals here. We were seeing 3 to 5 coughing dogs per day at each one of my hospitals. There are probably 10 to 12 other hospitals in town who are reporting the same thing. So if you do the math, you realize that's an incredible number of dogs who are actually presenting with clinical signs.
Yeah. So the good news is typically dogs do get better with flu, but the bad news is a small percent, doesn't matter how small that percent is if it's your dog, do succumb to the flu. So first, typically they get pneumonia. Some of those dogs with treatment do fine. Some don't.
That's true. Now, virtually all dogs who come into contact with canine influenza will become infected. Approximately 80% of those dogs will show clinical signs, signs of coughing, fever, and then a small portion of those dogs will develop into pneumonia. So we've seen our fair share of cases of pneumonia. We've been treating aggressively, and thankfully we have not lost any patients at my hospitals. But I know that I have colleagues here in town who have lost patients to pneumonia.
Yeah. So two things here about what you said. You said that virtually any dog exposed to the strain of dog flu are going to get sick. That is because there's no immunity at all because this is a new, reasonably new strain of dog flu, correct?
That's absolutely correct. You know, as you know, being in Chicago, the
yes.
first time we ever saw this H3N2 was in Chicago in 2015. Before then, this was something that had been pretty much restricted to Asia. So this is a relatively new virus to the United States, but we're seeing pockets of outbreak all over the United States.
Yes.
Just this week, I've learned that there were 39 confirmed cases in various parts across the country. So most of the population isn't protected against this strain of virus, and I think it's our job to educate the community that this is something we should be worried about.
Now, the number that you mentioned, the 39 that are confirmed, I want to make a point of saying that could mean hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of dogs potentially sickened because so few dogs and so few owners take the time to test those dogs and the money to do that. Because if it's another type of upper respiratory virus, treatment is similar, and we all want our dogs treated, right? So, and many veterinarians don't even suggest the testing, so pet owners don't even know it's available. So those numbers, I want to explain what they're about. The other thing that's important from what you said is, and I think it's an important point, about 20%, give or take, of dogs that do get the flu, they have the virus, but they don't have any symptoms, so their owners have no way to know that their dog is actually spreading the disease, even though they feel fine.
That's absolutely right. You make some really good points. We've seen hundreds of coughing dogs, and we've submitted 20 to 30 samples for testing. And of those samples that we've submitted, right now, maybe 20 to 25% are coming back positive so far. There's an incredible number of dogs who have not been tested, and it's very easily spread from dog to dog. It's spread in coughing, barking, discharge. It's spread at water bowls. And dogs that get this disease can actually shed or spread this virus for as long as 25 days.
And I guess the rule would be vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate.
Vaccination, it's the best thing we have right now.
Dr. Moss, thank you so much. We're just out of time here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Learn more at dogflu.com.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets. They'll be good to you. We'll talk to you next time.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.